Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. The Vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew from high school were posting things that were factually wrong. And they enjoyed doing that, and that's what Facebook was for them. And for me, Facebook was for correcting things like that. And they didn't like that one bit. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under pretty much all social media under that name. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York. I'm an unabashed atheist. I'm still kind of wondering about Pastafarianism. I mean, Italian, it would just seem to be the normal fit, but I'm still kind of hedging my bets. Thank you for joining us tonight. We've got a little bit of a different round panel. That's okay. We'll get to all that in a moment. Introduce everybody for you. First off, from just north of the border into Ontario, Canada. Good morning, heretic woman, and all of your cute and fun new expensive toys, you pain in my ass.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I am coming to you from a new machine with a few bells and whistles, so I hopefully won't be as rickety and issue-ridden as before. As Miss Ashley liked to say, fewer equipment issues. I am from Ontario, Canada. I started out in the United Church of Canada. And we all do stupid things when we're teenagers. My stupid thing was to join a Calvinist sect, and I really don't recommend it. And I have now been an atheist for 26 years, and I spend as much time as I can basically promoting rational thought and exposing religion for the ridiculousness that it is.
Moving to the south of me into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Joey.
Of course, you would drag me into this. Hi, everybody. My name is Joe. I was born to an Irish Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois. Spent 8 years in the United States Army. And I am now living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania as an atheist, veteran, graphic designer, just...
All right. When you get the opportunity, by the way, if you've got something to boost your microphone gain a little bit, that would be great. You're a little on the thin side. We didn't get the chance to check them in before I got started, so
that's okay. Well, yeah, because you guys were just blabbering on and blabbering on.
And to answer the accusation about I would bring you into this, to paraphrase from one of the old Jack Benny shows, you walked in here yourself, Twinkle Toes. You've no one to blame but yourself. Thank you, Frank Nelson. Moving to the east of there, into the capital of D.C., otherwise known as Doc Capital. Unrenowned Tech, good morning.
Well, it's the goodness has remained to be seen, considering the amount of millions of dollars it's going to cost when the Pope rolls into town per day. Other than that, this is going to be fine. Yeah, we've got the Pope coming to D.C. in a couple days here, and they've estimated the cost is like $1.5 million in public funds per day. And it's just like, what, road closures? And it's just, it's nuts. I'm Unrenowned Tech. I currently reside in Maryland. I grew up in a mixed religious background. Practiced a couple, studied more. Ultimately came to the conclusion this is all full of crap.
And just to be clear on the whole damn thing, Tech, look at the bright side. At least for the road closures, Chris Christie's got nothing to do with it, right?
Shots fired.
Yes, they are. Talk about that in a couple of moments also. Moving across the pond over to the north of England. Good morning, Chris. Welcome back.
Good morning. Sorry, I wasn't here last week. Had a birthday celebration and some other stuff going on, so I wasn't available for the show. But I'm back now. I'm Chris from the north of England. I've raised sort of nominally Catholic, but it never really took, and I've been an atheist for the last 25 years or so. And until the last, say, 4 or 5 years, I was very much sort of live and let live and didn't sort of pay any of the surrounding issues much attention. And then I started seeing the amount of damage that was being done to you know, real human beings through sort of false beliefs and poor thinking and logic. So I've started speaking out in a number of ways.
And for what it's worth, Chris, by the way, I thank you very much. Believe it or not, the post did get your doctor's note over to us to excuse you for last week. Would you tell your GM, please, to stop writing these notes in Sharpie? Because Sharpie marker really is very unprofessional. Barroom napkin also, just in all matters.
It's an upgrade.
And it's hard to get off the screen.
And at least you didn't use glitter paint.
Well, we'll see about that. And moving to the south through the channel and across over into France with a very unusual color scheme. You're actually using color. Good morning, Joseph.
Yeah, good morning.
You don't want to say anything because you're afraid I'm going to say something now, aren't you?
Well, I'm just waiting for you to say it so I can say whatever I have to say. My name's Joseph. I'm originally from London, Ontario, Canada, but I've been living here in Paris, France since 1989. I was brought up Anglican, and I didn't really understand much about the religion, but I was brought up being told it was the right thing to do. And then I found out that even that wasn't true. So today I'm doing everything I can to promote individual thought and critical thought and rationality in general.
So, of course, as always, everybody, thank you very much for spending your time with us. If you're watching us live right now, please, by all means, take advantage of the question and answer system here on the Google Hangouts. Be more than happy to interact with you, answer questions, give our opinion on stuff. And, of course, yes, Katie is the first one chiming in.
Oh, right.
Good evening. Hello to all the blabbers, she says. That's very nice. As opposed to, welcome to the crap crew. Yes, yes, I haven't forgotten. I'm just wondering if one of these days...
You know, if we were really the crap crew, we could go on to our CVs and put in Gong Farmer.
Ooh.
I don't even understand that.
I don't either. You know what? There are times when all you have to do is just nod your head and just... Okay, that's okay. Thank you.
Well, the crap crew
shoots. Admit it. All you guys are going to Google that shit later.
Nope.
No, we're not.
Nope. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get everything started because we got stuff to talk about tonight. And I'm going to kind of sidetrack a couple of items also while we're going tonight because a couple of things got to hit. But before we get going, of course, with apologies to Noah Heath and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist, with 5 minutes on the clock, your five-minute freestyle starts. Stop beeping at me, no religion required fan group. You know, you guys over there on Facebook, could you not post stuff while I'm in the middle of my show? That'd be great.
That's why they're doing it.
Shut up. 5 minutes starts now. Okay, so the title that I put for you guys on this one is Indian Tears. And some people have heard the expression Indian Giver. Okay, yeah, that's a real nice thing to say. It's derogatory. You've probably heard it at some point when you're a kid. Don't know, but I used to hear it. But what I got to thinking about, for whatever reason, I got to hanging out with my little one, my daughter. Had to pick her up from school, and they were talking about some stuff in social studies, and it was about immigrants coming through from Ellis Island. And I found it really kind of cool because, you know, there's a lot of history that goes with Ellis Island, the great push for immigration through it in the New York Harbor. And I was about to say in New York or in New Jersey, and I've forgotten who's actually got control. But in any case, even though there were a lot of tests that were supposed to be designed for getting people to come through that deserved to come through, there were a lot of them that were really slanted against the people who were coming through. And as I told my daughter, even those that came through Ellis Island didn't exactly entirely come through. For instance, in my particular case, part of my family that came through from Italy, the name that is documented for the family that's here is Donatio. Although if you go back to Italy, the name that they left town with was Donadio. So it happened to a lot of families that came through. That was a little tough on a lot of families, but the point of where this comes through is that virtually all of the population of North America is immigrant. Virtually all. And some of us that grew up through the 70s here in the United States, we saw a lot of different PSAs on TV. PSA standing for Public Service Announcement. And one of them was for Keep America Clean. And if you go looking for it on YouTube, it's fairly famous now for the Native American who was paddling through on his canoe through the river, infested with refuse and pollution and thrown away bags, only to walk to the side of the highway with all these very, very 70s cars driving by, with people throwing stuff out the windows and a collection of garbage literally landing at his feet. French fries falling out, a half-eaten burger falling out, which to me is just a crime in and of itself. I mean, fast food, burgers and fries, really, you could do so much better. But and he ended up looking straight into the camera after looking down at his feet with a single tear coming down his face. Not crying so much as just shedding a single tear. Now, it's easy enough for that to be done with, you know, gel to put it on the face. But there are so many times when nationalism comes to play, where, rah, rah, we're the best. And don't take my rights away from me, because I need to be able to express those rights. You want to be a nationalistic group? Why don't you put it to something worthwhile? Okay, sure, yeah, you can go ahead and you can support candidates for political offices. That's great. Rah, sis boom ba, that's wonderful. You want to go out, you want to buy a flag? Okay, we look at it now and it's a little bit on the weird side. You want to support SETI? Cool. You want to support some free software designers? Great. But really, you want to support your country? How about you support it by taking care of it? There's so many opportunities where you could just not throw stuff away. That's a thing, right? I mean, yeah, you make the inside of your car a little bit dirty for a little while until you get home, but you got garbage bags at home. You can just once a week go through and, oh, here's a Tim Hortons container. I can get rid of that. Here's one from Burger King. I can get rid of this. And I can put it, as another PSA said, put garbage where it belongs. The Indian is not a term that we use very much anymore because it's culturally insensitive, and with good reason. Why would he cry? Probably because we don't have a shared value. I wish that we did. Because my value is, and forgive me, to use an expression that my first boss used to say, you shouldn't shit where you eat. And I certainly don't want to do it where I live. This is episode number 81 on the docket, Your Honor. mind your PPs. In this case, PP is privilege and persecution. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and there's a lot of pieces that I'm expecting people are going to be chiming in on. So if you're watching live, you want to take advantage of the Q&A, by all means, feel free, because I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of stuff for tonight. Let's get a couple of things taken care of straight away. Heretic Woman, of course, as usual, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, Raif Badawi is currently where?
Still in jail in Saudi Arabia.
As of the recording of this show, it has now been 3 years, 3 months, 3 days since he was incarcerated for thought crime. Our heart and our hopes are still with you, and we can't wait for you to get the hell over to the North American side for a change. We have a number, well, normally I've been doing five countries, and I am down to the last six of countries that had taken notice of us as of February of this year. So if you would like your country or your area to be represented, please send an email over to me at podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com, and I will see about making specific references to where you people are. I won't name you by name, but if you'd like us to go ahead and announce you, at least your country or area, please let us know. So tonight, our last six are Uruguay, Ecuador, Mexico, and Chile. Hola. And Iraq. Merhaba. I know. I've always got a problem with that one. And Saudi Arabia. There is an expression that some people have probably figured out that I'm utilizing right about now.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't figured it out, ask your grandma. I'm quite sure that if she were to listen to the last 30 seconds, she'd be able to tell you. Figure it out.
In fact, a story came over my newsfeed today that they are planning to crucify a teenager for blasphemy in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. That's new.
I was actually just looking for the reference for that. Do you have it up?
I might. Hang on. It was just came across my newsfeed today. And my response was to say that that government is a blight on this planet. And that was being mild.
Well, imagine that would be about right, yeah. Tech, no joy for you right at the moment?
In what respect?
I thought you said you were looking for that reference.
Yeah, I forgot to save the bloody article. I usually do remember to save it to my phone, because my phone actually works better than my computer now. That's how old my computer is. And yeah, I'm just having a hard time coming across it real quick here. Yeah, you know, there is one thing.
I've got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the young fellow's name is Ali Mohammed Al-Namir, and he's been sentenced to death by crucifixion. It said he was 17 in 2012 when he was arrested on shaky charges of illegal protesting and gun possession. There was never any evidence produced to support the gun charge. Said he was held in jail and not allowed to speak to a lawyer, and he was subject to torture, and a forced confession was extracted. His conviction was appealed through a closed process that he was not allowed to participate in. His appeal was dismissed. And it says, any remaining possibility the nation's legal system would prevent his biblical execution is pretty much gone. And so, they're looking to, and they're saying that he may not actually be the target. There's an idea that it was actually, they're doing this to the boy to punish his uncle, who apparently was very outspoken against the government. So, you know, why not just torture a child instead? You know, why not?
You know, this actually ties into something that Sujin said earlier about Ellis Island with immigration. I'm third generation American born in this country, my son being fourth generation. My mother's side of the family is split from Poland and Russia. And the family members who lived in Poland at the time of World War II had a choice. They could either join the Russian government and fight for the Russians, or they would take, for everybody who refused, they would take the firstborn son, line him up outside the wall of the house of the family that had members of the family that could fight, that refused to fight, and they would shoot that member of the family. Mm-hmm. And when they found out that their town, which my relatives were on that side of the family, very prominent, wealthy landowners, and very prominent within the town itself, found out what was happening, they scraped together the monetary funds that they could. They sold the very few precious stones that they had. They sold off property. They sold anything that they had to sell so that they could take all these children and get them out of the country. And in most cases, a lot of them had to walk out.
Wow.
And when the Russian military found out that, well, all the firstborn children are gone, okay, we're going to make an example. And the people who were not able to get out of the town, every single one of them were stood outside their homes and shot. The entire town was slain.
This kind of ties into something that's popped up in the Q&A. I'm going to get to that in just a couple of seconds. The first item that had come up, and I want to get this out of the way because Levity and I had already pinged it over here, from James, which, by the way, hi, welcome. I'm going to get to two of your questions, as a matter of fact. First one is, I have the urge to call the guy with that one mustache Eduardo. Why? I don't know. Why? Why do we want to call you Eduardo? Why would we want to do that?
Well, which mustache is he talking about?
Yeah. You know, heritage woman, since you're not from New Jersey, I'm going to guess it's not you.
I'm thinking I could, you know, try
this. That's really not a good look for you.
I still shave, so I know it ain't me.
There's that. So I'm assuming, Joseph, it's probably you.
Oh, I don't know. Chris's is getting up there.
Well, yeah, okay.
You know what? He doesn't have the twirly factor going, but it's still pretty epic.
Yeah, that's
what's getting up there is called when you start twirling.
See, Chris's is more like something you would expect to see on, like, oh, I don't know, a Klingon.
Yeah, okay.
I can live with that.
Yeah, well, just don't shave your head.
I would expect to see that where I'm like, you know, the bad, sinister guy that went up against, what was that Canadian Mountie cartoon?
Oh, you
hero.
Think it's Snidely Whiplash now. Don't even do this. Really.
Yeah, I would see more Snidely there. It's a little bit thicker, but, you know, still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't do the twirly thing at this time in the morning.
Yeah.
No, but Joseph can, and he does very often, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Drag me up a wall. The funny part about
done,
it is...
Are we done about mustaches?
Yes, we are. The funny part of it is I had just found yesterday Michael Dorn doing a thing for Rosetta Stone from, I think it was just this past year, of you get to learn Klingon with Rosetta Stone. And
oh, no way.
It turned out the demo video was posted to YouTube on March 31st. Which then means, of course, that it was an April Fool's joke. Because I think I would actually pay good money for that, too.
Yeah, I'd be like, definitely I want to learn Klingon.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll come for that.
Put that on your CV.
Well, oh, yeah. The Shakespeare Company could actually use that one.
Could you imagine if you approach some street preacher and just start spouting off in Klingon? Like,
Joey?
I could do that in Japanese.
Joey, please tell me that you would be willing to learn Klingon just for that purpose alone, to go over to the Planned Parenthood clinic over there?
Yeah.
For those of you that are just listening to the audio portion,
you're asking me this just because I am linguistically inclined, aren't you?
No, I'm asking you because I think that of all of us, you would have the most fun keeping a straight face and looking at these people and going, "Come on, go ahead, try." You'd have a good time with it, wouldn't you?
Wow.
I would have an utter blast I would totally do that.
I don't know the first word of Klingon, so I still have, you know, Christopher Lloyd in my head.
That's fair.
I'm sorry. Very bad idea.
I tell you who we should get to learn Klingon just enough to like piss off some protesters. Who is it from My Book of Mormon?
Oh, David Mike.
David Mike. His Michael. Voice, think about it. His voice doing Kling. Yeah.
Kapla, baby. Kapla.
That's, if you have not listened to David Michael, even though I'm not currently listening to his podcast because I've got so many that I'm listening to as it is, I'm behind. He's got a great voice.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that. James had also asked, and fair question, is it me? Or is religion a common topic on this? I've only been here twice, and that's all I know of, meaning the topic for, you know, our show. That's not at all unusual for us. We do try to cover, I intentionally try to steer us towards hitting religious topics, but I like to try to deal with a lot of stuff that is common day to day that's become a bigger issue than what we've really noticed otherwise. For instance, what we're going to talk about tonight is religious privilege, which a lot of people don't even recognize has happened for them, versus religious persecution, which everybody claims but nobody is willing to sacrifice a virgin for. And you know, you'll see how that plays out. But
you have to find one first.
Well, yeah, there is that. But we do invite you to stick around, not because we want you to be pissed off. As a matter of fact, we hope that when all is said and done, you come away with an appreciation of going, you know what, I really hadn't thought of it that way before. You don't have to agree with us. You just listen to how we think of it and see what you think of it. And who knows, sometimes we've got good perspectives, sometimes not so much. But when all is said and done, I like to think that we all have something that helps to round out how you think about a topic, and hopefully it's worthwhile for you. So we hope you stick with us. Let's see, a couple of other things. James had also said, I didn't know Joey was an atheist. Joey, are you an atheist?
No, me never.
Okay.
How long have I been doing this show?
Yeah, long enough to let us know that you've got the hots for the penguins back from high school.
Wait, what?
I'm kidding. I'm teasing. Some people get that reference.
Antarctica?
No, he's originally from Chicago. I'm thinking of the Blues Brothers. I'm thinking of the Penguin.
That was a stretch. Shoe. That was a stretch.
No, a stretch is asking are penguins indigenous to Chicago? No, why? Because I just ran over a nun. That's good. You happy with that one? You're welcome.
Running over nuns is a bad habit.
It is. I try not to do it.
Oh.
before we finish this whole thing off and we actually get to the real meat of this whole damn thing, I want you guys to know that I'm going to see about getting a guest on, a repeat guest on with us sometime the next week or two. Specifically, I'll tell you who it is in just a couple of moments. You guys heard about this this 14-year-old kid who built a clock?
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because he knows how to do this because he's, like, electronically inclined. You guys heard about this? Tech, you heard about this kid, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, big time.
Is that not the coolest? I mean, being able to be able to say, you know, I'm in high school, man. I could build a clock in 20 minutes because, you know, I was bored. I wanted to do something cool for school.
We had a kid in junior high, okay? And now some places in the U.S. and in the world, they have middle schools instead of junior high. Junior high is basically 7th and 8th grade. So I was in 7th grade, and one of my fellow classmates, his father was an electrician. I mean, he worked for the local electric company. So his father had a lot of parts lying around the house, spare stuff. Well, he decided that he was going to borrow some of those parts. And he made this really neat device that when you attached a AA battery to it, and you took the electrodes and put it on your arm, it made the muscles in your arms do funky things.
Oh, wow.
Now, it took about 4 hours before the teachers finally confiscated it, especially when you have all these kids that are having leftover twitches, reactions later on throughout the day, and they're explaining why their arm is twitching a little bit. And all I could think of when I heard about the boy with the clock, I was like, yeah, if the kid that I knew in seventh grade had done that in school today, he'd probably be currently being brought up on charges, you know, because of the potential damage to the human body that prolonged contact with this device could have caused. Whereas here's a kid building a clock. A clock! It's not hurting anybody. They're like, it's a bomb!
Yeah, Tech. If it's running off a AA battery, a device like that is almost safe. Perfectly safe, even for very prolonged use.
He had a transformer about this big attached to it.
Yeah, it's all a matter of how you use voltage. There are ways of taking the voltage of anything and increasing it many, 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 many times, and decreasing many, 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 many times. There's a whole big thing about it.
And this kid understood how all that stuff worked because his dad had taught him about electricity.
Yep. Now, to go along with that, we're not going to discuss that particular topic because I'm going to save it for a little bit later when my intention is to get back with us a one Mr. Sam Mulvey, the host of Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey, both a radio show and a podcast, who has been on with us once before, and I'm going to see about getting him back, because he is an incredibly talented tinkerer. He knows his stuff. He's a ham radio guy. He knows his stuff, and I want to get him on because I want to discuss with him the picture of the device, because even me, also a ham radio guy, licensed, yes. What's my call sign? Not telling. Tough. And I looked at it all, and I'm just like, I recognize that, I recognize that, I recognize that, I recognize that. Ooh, old school display, cool, all right, everything's wired up the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, okay, what's the problem?
What bothered me most about the whole article, though, wasn't the fact that they mistook it for a bomb or anything like that. What bothered me is that the teachers fail to follow school procedures, because almost every school has a procedure about bomb threats. So they didn't follow any of those. When they notified the police never brought the bomb squad to even try to identify the device. I mean, there were so many failures on that part to, if they were really serious about their claims of it being a bomb or a hoax bomb or anything, they didn't take any of the actions that were warranted, that were standard operating procedure for that kind of thing.
There's a meme going around, actually. It's someone's, I think it's a Facebook post from somewhere, but it says, They didn't think he had a bomb. And the other person said, well, yes, they thought he made a bomb, and they even called the police. And the other person said, no, they just wanted to humiliate a little Muslim African boy. They didn't think that he had a bomb. And the other one said, don't be conspiracist. They might be a little prejudiced, but I'm sure they thought he had a bomb. And then the other person said, okay, but they didn't evacuate the school like you do when there's a bomb. They didn't call the bomb squad like you do when there's a bomb. They didn't get as far away from him as possible like you do when there's a bomb. They put him and the clock in an office, not like you do when there's a bomb. Then they waited for him with him for the police to arrive. Then they put the clock in the same car as the police, and then they took pictures of it.
Yep.
And not only that.
Okay, hold on. Because this is getting off of where I didn't want to go through all of this just yet. We will end up talking through this whole thing. We'll make an entire episode out of it because we can easily go down on that one. But the point of it is, I want to have Sam on with us because he's been doing radio for a long time. He's covered stories. He is a tinkerer. He has seen the stuff. I'm sure he's already covered it. If he hasn't already, I'm sure he would be covering it on his show this week, which is why I don't want to get him before he's done it, before I'm sure that he's done it. Because, I mean, let's face it, I respect him too much. Sam, if you actually do get to see this, I respect you way too much to screw with your own timeline for what you want to do. Because I want to have him on for that, and I also want to kind of buttress it along with one of his other things, which is propaganda. Because he loves his propaganda. So kind of putting those back to back, I think there is a way, or we'll just make two different things out of it, but we'll see about that. So let's start this one off now that we're way behind schedule at this point. Religious persecution. Kim Davis. Let's show of hands over here. Who thinks that she's been persecuted? Not it. Me. Not it. Nope. Anybody?
My face palm doesn't count.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor IKEA. So, persecuted. Anybody? Is she persecuted? Yes? No? No? Nobody?
No. We actually, I was on Forbidden Fruit Thursday, and this was the topic of the show as well.
Ninja!
Yeah, well, you know. My comment at the time was, plant her in the town square of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and ask her to tell them how great Jesus is, and we'll see how long she keeps her head.
That's pretty much right about there. So, persecution. Do you really know what religious persecution is all about? Do you really have any idea? Those of you that have been touting that word left, right, center, and badgering people with it, beating them over the head with it, do you really understand what the word means? Because you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Actually, I'm pretty damn sure you don't know what it means.
I don't think we even think about what it means.
You know what? You're a resident pedant. Go ahead, Joseph. In your best opinion, what would religious persecution actually look like?
Well, the early example, people being crucified.
There you go. Nice. Wrap it around. That's exactly the way it ought to be. See, Harry Dickman, he's paying attention.
Don't forget the beheading.
Yeah, I was going to say, try blogging in Bangladesh to find out about persecution.
Yes.
Yeah, at this point, the last I can't believe I'm going to be.
There's four.
I'm tempted to ask, you know, when is the last time someone from your church was fed to a lion?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, we can kind of go with that. When was the last time that? How about this one, Joe? Try this one on for size that you could ask people. When was the last time one of your congregation was fed to a snake? How about that one? Does that work?
No.
At that point, I'd have to make sure that I'm not asking, you know, like a Southern Bible
I was just saying there was
revival Baptist because that would be voluntary, unfortunately. Yeah, and stupidity, but
the guy that just died from a snake bite a couple of months ago, but he wasn't eaten; he was just bit.
Yeah, they didn't let the snake go that far.
No.
And good on him for, you know, protecting the snake from eating shit like that. The idea of religious persecution would be if the religion was most prevalent in the social structure, which could also mean the government, or might not. I mean, there are ways of looking at it. And their will is imposed upon someone else's. Now, considering that the overall world population says that approximately 75% of the world by overall numbers is religious in some fashion, that would typically mean that people like us who are non-religious are pretty much in the minority. So if somebody says, hey, I've got this great rule that it comes down from on high from my book, and, you know, I've got this one book, that would kind of be persecution, sort of, if non-compliance meant you ended up going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Voluntary non-compliance. I'm kind of making sure that people understand about a piece. Now, Chris, you've got screen time that you missed out on last time. Mm. You know full well this whole hoopla with Kim Davis.
Yeah.
Was that religious persecution for her being put into jail? I mean, it's got to be, right?
Sadly, Shujin, I'm going to do what you've done to others in the past on Facebook and say no. She was put in jail for A, not doing her job, and B, violating a court order.
That told her to do her job.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that when you're in contempt of court, the judge can either make you pay a fine and go to jail, or just go to jail. And she got just go to jail with the conditional that she would only stay in jail so long as until she decided to do her job. That was it. That's a lot more lenient than a lot of other people who have been found in contempt of court.
She had the keys to her own cell.
Also, on that, the note that another reason she went to jail was because the judge found that a fine of any sort of magnitude, pretty much, would be ineffective. Right. Simply because she had so many right-wing churches and other groups behind her queuing up to pay any fines or any costs for her.
Yeah, that was.
So unfortunately, on that, you know, for her, her very own support base, you know, was part of what caused her to be in jail.
Yeah, Joseph, you had a very, very accurate comment just a couple of moments ago about her jail cell.
Oh, that she had the keys to her own cell. Yeah.
Yeah, because all she had to do was just say, okay, yes, I will faithfully execute the position that I have been elected to the best of my ability, Your Honor.
Or resign. Always had the option to resign, and she refuses to do it.
Yeah, Deborah, and obviously there aren't like 80,000 reasons for her not to resign.
Yes, indeedy. Yes, and also I found out on Thursday on the other show that apparently her mother and her grandmother also held a similar position. So it's like this family thing. So apparently that plays into it to some degree. But what I find interesting is Kim there, she doesn't know her Bible very well, because Deuteronomy 17:12, and this is the New International Version, says that anyone who shows contempt for the judge or the priest who stands ministering there to the Lord your God is to be put to death.
Well, isn't there also another piece in there somewhere that actually says, you know, women be quiet and just shut the hell up while men are talking?
Yeah, but you see, those don't apply to her. She didn't choose to follow those.
Shijin, nope. Did that passage not continue about something about women having positions of authority?
It might have. I mean, who really pays attention to, you know, the minutiae of stuff once you've got something that you like? I mean, really. I'm sorry. Am I being just a little bit on the snooty side about it all? I'm sorry.
I've seen the videos of her, and I'm pretty darn sure that she's wearing some mixed fabrics in those not so flattering outfits.
It's okay.
Guys, you don't understand. You're looking at the whole Bible. They don't do that.
I'm sorry. I should be just looking at the parts I like.
Which would be the outside cover, because that's usually actual leather. In some cases, somebody that likes to work in leather, myself, I mean, that I would find to be, like, really cool, but beyond that...
Shijin, I can just think of far better uses for that leather, and it disappoints me to see it going to waste.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on this one, especially considering that my intention is to get back to and actually making stuff and selling stuff, maybe, one of these days. That'd be nice.
Joey! Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Joey, because you're still being quiet over here. I need you on this one. You had a government job for a little while. What would happen if you just suddenly said, you know what? I don't. I'm a pacifist. You know, I actually converted to Quakerism. So I'm a pacifist. I don't want to, you know, shoot things.
Just one small problem with that. Unlike other government jobs where, you know, you may have to be indicted or something like that. Yeah, when you do that sort of thing in the military, no, there's not a whole lot of leeway one way or another. You do your damn job.
Yeah. Which Kim could have done, or she could have resigned. And, I mean, you're a Quaker, you're a pacifist.
I have a question for Joe.
Well,
Joe, am I correct in that in the military, if you're of the mindset where your religion forbids you from killing another person, they do actually have positions for you. There's a title for it. A conscientious objector.
Yes, and yes, there are positions where you can be a conscientious objector and still in the military. However, it's all, you know, if you sign up with the friggin' infantry and then say, but I don't want to kill anybody, you don't have to kill anybody, really, but, you know, if you literally, it would have to be an act of defying an order, pretty much. For example, you know, guys shooting at your team from, you know, on top of a tower or something, and your first line supervisor gives you an order to attack that individual. If you decide to disobey that lawful order, you could be, you know, you could spend not only the rest of your term in military prison, you can pretty much be kept there for quite a while.
So you have to register as a conscientious objector before, like, when you're first joining up.
Pretty much.
Okay, yeah, so you have to make them aware of this ahead of time.
You could be a cook, you could be a medic, you could be, you know.
I mean, but for any
Oddly enough, though, you can't be a chaplain's assistant and be a conscientious objector. Because the chaplain is a non-combat soldier. He's not allowed to carry a weapon.
Oh. This has to be able chaplain's, to...
The chaplain's assistant is the person who is supposed to cover the chaplain's ass.
Okay, so now we're getting into D&D territory where we're talking about the cleric and the...
wait, let me get my die. I'll roll initiative.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was the... not the ranger. Who? The paladin. That's who it was, right? Ray Heretic went with the paladin, right? I got that
yeah.
right.
Pretty much, yeah.
The paladin is a holy warrior who kills in the name of their deity.
Well, exactly.
Or fights. They fight for against injustice, depending on the deity that they worship.
But of course, you know, we're not going to pull geek humor into all this. That would be wrong. So, okay. So persecution. We can pretty well establish that Kim is not dealing with persecution. She's dealing with let's see, which episode are we up to?
Asshole. And colossal loss of privilege.
Here's a really simple system to determine whether or not your religious liberties are being violated. Your liberties are being violated if you are not allowed to attend a religious service of your choosing. Mm. You are not allowed to legally marry the person you love.
Okay. Oh, that would be his person.
Yep. If you're being forced to use birth control, even though it is against your religion, if you are not allowed to pray privately in your home or in a public place, you are not allowed to purchase, read, or possess religious materials and books, you are not allowed to teach your children creation stories of your faith in your own home.
Question.
Now, go ahead.
Would... Now, Kim Davis is someone who is in a public office, mm-hmm. was already in this public office, mm-hmm. and decided not to adhere to the tenets of that public office because of her religion. On a slightly different note, what would you say about somebody who is not simply outright barred from holding public office because of their religion or lack thereof?
You know, funny enough, you're leading the bit. You're leading the bit just a little bit.
Because
actually, in Maryland, they have an illegal law on the books, illegal according to the Constitution, that says if you do not believe in some sort of deity, you cannot hold public office for Maryland.
There's six states who do that, I think.
Yeah, there used to be seven. One abolished it.
As of July of last year, there were 8 state constitutions that restricted people who did not have a belief in a supreme being from holding a civil office or testifying in court.
Yeah, if I can jump in on this one. I've seen this covered from a number of angles, including one interesting one from Matt Dillahunty. There's apparently a load of these types of laws in different states, the exact number doesn't really matter, that are historic in nature and have now been overruled at a federal level.
Oh, of course, yes.
On there. And so while these laws... will remain on the books because it is basically just not worth the time, money, and effort to go through the whole repeal process for them when they've already been overruled, basically ruled void from from a higher level. So they may still be on the books, but they don't actually, have any impact. I mean. Over here in the UK, we've got all kinds of crazy laws, both nationally and locally, none of which have ever been enforced in living memory, or for some cases for centuries. Things like I can technically be there's a law saying that you're going to be fined like one old penny per week of like non-attendance at church or something, or I have to practice archery so many days a week. And all kinds of other stuff that will, sit on the rule books, forever. But there will only ever be a historical curiosity, and never brought into any action based on them.
Yeah, now, Tech, I'm pretty sure that where you were going to go with this was, well, why not just nice and easy, just pop into session, boom, let's get rid of this because it's useless now, so why don't we just do that, just get it over with, done. Okay, strike it through and done, right?
Yeah, and because that's plenty of states have actually done that. They find when they come across an old law like that and that there is it's easily defined where the federal level has said, no, this is an illegal law, this is not allowed, yada, yada, yada. They just they put that up on a government form. Yeah. They put it, they reference it. It gets sent to the next person up. The next person goes, okay, stamps it, and it goes to the next one, and they add it to a pile. And then when that pile is accessed to go through and start negating stuff, it's done in just a couple days. So it's something that could be done fairly quickly that our government has demonstrated before that it can do fairly easily. They just won't do it.
I mean, tech. I mean, realistically, is there any reason for to do it? Because these laws are also basically not in effect already.
Yes, there is a very good reason to do it.
Because some bunch of theists that could get elected somewhere could turn around and start enforcing that stuff.
Yeah, I'd say it would be overruled and thrown out like immediately.
But that doesn't mean it's not a waste, and it doesn't also mean that they can't use it as an excuse.
We have processes here in the States that when lawyers and politicians want to use them to bottleneck the system so that they can keep enforcing rules that do oppress people, even though they've been deemed illegal or unwarranted or things like that, they have enough money to throw behind it and enough time to throw behind it that it happens. So what Heretic Woman is talking about actually could happen with enough of the right people stalling the process. That's why I was saying it's something that they should get rid of just so that it can't be used in their date as a weapon.
And if you look at the states that still have it on the books, aside from Maryland, we've got Arkansas, which is pretty backwards, Mississippi, enough said, the Carolinas, which are also heavily religious, Tennessee, and, of course, Texas. Because, you know, it wouldn't be religious nuttery if we didn't have Texas involved.
Now, the problem with the whole damn thing, the problem with the whole damn thing is that unless there is an actual pressing reason that it needs to be addressed, chances are it's not going to get addressed.
Well,
generally speaking.
Yeah. If, let's say, somebody wants to run for city council in their town, right? And then somebody comes along and says, well, I heard you're an atheist and the law says that you can't run for office. And so, you know, get lost. And if it's just, you know, Joe Schmo who just wanted to serve the community, chances are that they don't have the time and the resources to go and fight something like that. And they may just end up saying, oh, okay, well, I guess I can't be on city council. And then they lose that opportunity. And even though it goes against your federal constitution, that individual may not know that and may think that they have no recourse or that they don't have the time or the energy to invest in searching for recourse. And so it gets let slide. And the religious people who come in and say, we don't want you on city council will win.
Yeah,
the other aspect, the financial aspect of it is that the cost to strike it from the books is a fraction of the amount of resources that would be wasted if somebody tried to use it as a weapon.
Exactly.
Yeah, litigation is one of those things that the persecution really thrives with. If you can go ahead and you can put a piece into legislation, getting it out again is monumental because once it's in place, nobody wants to touch it because if you change a law that was put in, you're going to look like you're either flopping around on an issue, you don't know where you actually stand, you're not a firm believer in something, all the way down to, well, why would you take something out that is benefiting us who are already 70% of the population And that's in a lot of cases a supermajority, and all you need to do is just rubber stamp something at that point, which is...
And that's why they're so smug about having "In God We Trust" on the currency.
Yeah, here in the United States, we've got a huge problem with that kind of thing, where 70% of the population is some version, some variant of Christianity, of which, yes, Catholics, we're looking at you too, whether you believe it or not, whatever, that they think, for whatever reason, and this is something that I let me finish my thought and I'll come back to that. They think for whatever reason that they are being persecuted against whenever somebody says, "You're not right on an issue and I can prove it." Suddenly they have a persecution complex. Suddenly they've got, what the hell is that thing? You think that you've got every disease in the world, even though you're perfectly healthy.
Hypochondria.
Thank you. The same kind of thing.
And the thing is it's ingrained in a lot of religions. So the indoctrination at such an early age to these religions, it gives them this psychosis, this persecution psychosis, as I call it. And every time they see somebody, you know, say anything that could be misconstrued as attacking their religion or their religious beliefs, they take it personally as being persecuted against.
Yeah. This is my personal opinion, but I really get the impression that people see an affront to their religion as an affront to their life.
Yes, they do.
They're living in a protective bubble, and adhering to these rules is directly related to the safety of their quote unquote eternal soul. And in the human brain, that's paramount to your own life. So really, any form of questioning, aggression, they see it as an attack, as in a personal attack, and they have the same reaction as anybody being attacked.
Yeah, what I was going to say a couple of moments ago, though. I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
I was going to say, to take the point of view, this is it's an interesting area, the persecution complex, because it's not not limited to religion by any extent. I'm also part of the sort of skeptical movement a little bit over here, and we've been fighting various battles on sort of alternative medicine and quackery, and we see exactly the same kind of thing from straight chiropractors, as they're called, homeopathists, faith healers, psychics.
Well, there's a really simple explanation why you're seeing that.
People who believe that the medical establishment or the man or whatever is persecuting them, and it's all, it seems to be from people that have positions that cannot be sort of arrived at rationally, have an embedded privilege. So I know various religions in various countries around the world have a great deal of privilege, are protected by law. We've also got over here things like other areas where various like quack medicine modalities and stuff were enshrined in law because for political reasons, like 80-100 years ago, someone shoehorned them in with other stuff. And as soon as you try and take away that privilege, it's the persecution thing comes out, and it's people are not recognizing that they have, in many cases, massively unfair privilege.
And that, well, that,
when you're,
go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah, when you're living in a bubble, you're going to freak out at the sign of a pin.
It's not just a bubble. It all has to do with a really simple concept. The concept's called rejection. When a person, let's say that there's a young lady who's interested in me romantically, but I'm not interested in her, and I turn her down. I have just rejected her. That's going to create, regardless of how nice the person is, regardless of how polite I am in the process, how considerate I am of the feelings, and this works both ways. You know, it could be the other way. It doesn't matter the genders. It doesn't matter the backgrounds. What matters is that you have rejected another person, and that creates feelings, a lot of negative feelings. And those negative feelings, it's been shown, proven, that when you have negative feelings, it takes a negative effect on the human body and their psyche. And so when you go and reject somebody's religion, this is something that's very deeply ingrained in them, depending on how long they've been around, been indoctrinated, how deeply they believe in something. Even if it's not religion, if it's just something they firmly believe in, they have associated parts of themselves with that, whatever it is that you're rejecting, and they take it personally.
Yeah.
Now, there's a piece that I was going to make reference to. Every once in a while, I go looking through some of my old documents because, you know, I need to see if there's something that I need to get rid of because it's just not relevant anymore. And I found a couple of the old text documents that I had been putting together when I've had discussions, shall we say, on one particular art board in particular. Joey, you may have at one point or other seen some of these where I've had exceptionally long discussions with people who, anyway, I've had situations where I actually told one person, look, you've written 19 kilobytes of data in text, and I've got almost 40 to try to tell you that you're wrong. That kind of thing, where I've actually used text document to make sure that I had everything written out. Well, I found one of my old ones. And one of the insults, and I use the term loosely, that I ended up using was, you as a Christian here in the United States make up part of over 70% of the population. And you're worried about effectively 3%, hold on a second, 3% of the population that specifically claims atheist, as opposed to, you know, a whole bunch of other things, like the nuns or the agnostic or other, something like that. According to whatever poll, 3% is specifically, I'm an atheist. And you're upset about them persecuting you. There must be a huge weapon that this 3% of the population is using against 70% of the population. Oh, right, it's called being right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can prove it.
These people These people have a protective, you know, we all live in a kind of a protective bubble one way or another. But these people have never tested their bubble against reality. And, you know, that's basically it. You know, they've never tested, you know, this bubble they're living in, it works for them. You know, it's worked so far.
And
but they've never tested it themselves.
Yeah, and the worst part about it is it works both ways. It keeps the stuff on the outside out, but it also keeps resonating all the shit on the inside in. And yeah. I'm intentionally using the term shit not as a pejorative for, you know, bad ideas, but an amalgamation of all ideas that are on the inside just ping off of each other, and it just turns into one big mass of blah that makes no good use. I mean, it's really nice if you take that bubble and you know, drop it on the ground somewhere and you want to make, I don't know, corn. Corn's cool. I like corn. Which, by the way, it's corn season up over here in Western New York, so I can get away with that. If you've never had actual, like, really good corn, like fresh corn, you should really try that sometime soon.
How do you put a bubble on the ground?
The idea is that it's a shit bubble. Right. Right.
Okay. Right.
It's effectively natural fertilizer is the point. That's what it's good for.
Actually, right now is the best time to have speedies.
Wait, what?
Dude, you're in Buffalo. You have no excuse.
Yeah, I kind of do, because I have no clue what the hell you're talking about.
Dude, speedies are popular in Buffalo, for crying out loud.
Kuruanandeska speedies?
Speedies.
Don't mess with my mind. This is one of the few pieces of Japanese I know. What the hell is a speedies?
You've never heard of the Salamita State Fair Speedy Fest?
I'm going to go with no, I have not.
Wow. Damn, man. You're like one of the...
Please tell me what a speedy is.
Think of a shish kebab, marinated meat, no vegetables, made on... You take the meat after you've marinated, grill it, put it on a buttered Italian roll, and they're just absolutely delicious. And they're very popular in upstate New York. In fact, I grew up near Lupo's, which is... was well known for their custom speedy recipe, but the Salamita State Fair speedy sauce marinade is the most popular out of all of them. They tend to win the festival every year just because they make the best flavors. And there's several bars, some of the most popular bars in Buffalo to get buffalo wings. You can also get speedy that.
No clue. Never. I have not heard of this before. Yeah. You know what? We'll talk about food another week. Bring me back on Kamawek, and I'll explain about all that stuff later. Or maybe even Joey will come up and tell us how to properly pronounce gyros, right? Gyros, right?
Gyros.
Gyros.
For those of you that are not watching on the video right now, for those of you that are not watching on the video right about now, I'm quite certain that Joey would like to very much take that cigarette and put the ember somewhere that's painful on me.
Oh, and
well, if you two can do that, off air.
Yeah, thanks.
There is something I would like to reference on YouTube. When we were talking about the persecution complex and rejection, there's a channel called Dark Matter 2525. So it's Dark Matter, the words, and then the numbers 2525. And yep. He made a animated video called Do You Know God? And I urge people to actually watch that. Regardless of whether you're a theist or not, it's definitely a very interesting watch. It talks about the topic that we were just talking about. It does a much better job of it, in my opinion. And, you know, I took several years of psychology, so they're much more, the person's much more eloquent than I am.
Yeah, I can certainly say Dark Matter's videos, really, really good. He did one that was called Dear Emily, I believe it was, and if you get the opportunity to check that one out.
I haven't seen that one, but I've watched some of the other ones. They're pretty good.
Mm. So as far as privilege is concerned, not having privilege is not the same as being persecuted. And by the way, please remember, it's the word persecuted, not prosecuted. Please remember that. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
Prosecuted is the next step.
But one requires a lawyer, the other does not necessarily.
Right. One requires being butthurt somehow or other, I think. Well, it doesn't necessarily require, but I forget who it was, but somebody was checking around for communities that had stuff on their books that said if you don't have a belief in a superior being of some kind, he really meant God, that you're not allowed to have so much as a notary public job in a local community. And was intentionally asking people who were non-believers of some stripe or other to, hey, go ahead and run for that position. Why? Just so you can prove that, yeah, you can have the position, so that you can force them to go ahead and strike it off the books once and for all. Or if they decide to fight it, we got a lot of people behind us who've got a lot of money who are willing to do pro bono just so that we can get rid of it. How's that sound to you? Sound like fun? Sounds like fun to us. You on board? Yeah, Heretic Woman, you vaguely remember this. I forget who it was that was doing it, but...
I don't remember either, but I do remember the initiative.
How much fun was that to hear?
Oh, it was awesome. I almost wish that I had that opportunity here, because damn straight, if somebody around here said that you have to be a believer to run for office, I'm so running. Yeah. With a colander on my head at the same time.
So,
well, they may have proof that that deity exists now, so, you know.
I know. We actually interviewed a Pastafarian who was elected to city council and sworn in wearing said colander. He was on our show a couple of weeks ago.
Where was he from? Because I'm wondering if that was one of the folks from out my way?
He is from out your way.
From, was it Fredonia?
I believe so, yes. I'm trying to remember because I'm not from around there, so those names are challenging sometimes, but yes.
That's okay. Those of you that are fans of the Marx Brothers, yes, you would recognize Hail, Hail Fredonia. At least I'm pretty sure that's where it was. Fredonia is home of the college that I went to and met my girlfriend, future wife, and went back there the 7th, and we'll talk about that another time. I think I probably already talked through it. Anyway. So, short version. Religious persecution, I think we can pretty well call that one. You don't get your way because you're part of a bigger group. You don't get your way. That's called life. Get over it. It's not persecution unless you're being thrown in jail for the specific reason that you are you are being disallowed from doing something that you would voluntarily normally do. Not for something that you would voluntarily not do. Which, the more I try to talk through this, it's feeling like I'm walking through doo-doo, and I really not like the way that this is feeling in my brain. So we should just move the hell on from that while we finish off the last piece of it all. Privilege.
Yeah.
Oh, religious privilege. It's getting your way because you're part of the larger group, and that's the only reason why you're able to do it.
Mob rules.
Yeah, that's a brilliant way of putting it. Mob rules. And that's wrong. Joseph, you're one of those people. You have talked on many an occasion of talking about how people should not be doing things just because the mob said so. In this case, meaning a group of people as opposed to the Italian organization. The bunches of people who actually follow along just because it's the thing to do, because it's the vogue thing to do or whatever. That's just friggin' annoying for me to watch people just do that just because they can. When you're dealing with societal stuff, that's just gotta drive you in particular, drive the hair on the back of your neck up, of making you all upset. Looking at people who are just doing stuff just because a bunch of other people are, as opposed to, yeah, there's a good damn reason for doing this.
Well, it doesn't make me angry, but I mean...
Thanks for just hanging me out to dry. I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
No, but, well, I'm a bit perplexed at it, but I mean, it doesn't make my hair rise. But, these people, for me, it's directly linked to the survival instinct, because, you know, this is how these people have learned to survive, and like 90% of our education is through imitation, and it's worked for these people so far. You know, their behavior, it's working for them. So when you question what they do, you know, you're questioning their entire way of life, you know, survival methods that's worked for them so far.
That makes sense. And Chris, you talked about on several occasions that in let me see if I remember right, in Parliament, if I remember correctly, the House of Lords, I believe it was, where there are a number of people who aren't elected, but they are part of it simply because they hold a position in churches. No? Am I thinking of the wrong piece?
I'll just double check the numbers here.
But the overall ideal is I've pretty well got that accurate, if I remember correctly, yeah?
There's various people that are entitled to be in the House of Lords through various connections. I'm just checking what the details are. Right, so, yeah, we've got... to be 300 members, 240 are elected, and 60 are appointed. And up to 12 of those are being Church of England bishops, with under the term of like Lord Spiritual, on there. So they're not through the normal political process, and this is obviously something that's come about historically from the time when religion was much more active in the running of our country over here.
Yeah, but the point of it is, it's that they are given that just because of that association, not for any other reason, but just because of that.
Yeah,
and that alone.
Hmm. In something in the second chamber models similar to our House of Lords over here, I wouldn't necessarily have an objection to a number of religious representatives being present as representing their communities. If it was done proportionally dependent on the number of believers and not an overwhelming number in the house, the issue is that it's for me is it's just one sect of one religion that has that position, and other religions sort of non-beliefs, whatever, don't have that. And so, yeah, so that's a clear, very clear case of a specific privilege.
Yeah, Joseph, you were about to say.
Yeah, there is one thing that annoys me about that is that, the religious privilege in, holding political positions and making political decisions, it's just a means for a few humans to just totally bypass the democratic process.
Yeah, there is that.
Like, and in England, in the US too, like whenever I hear a politician saying, no, I don't obey God's orders or over civil law, I just see somebody promoting the ability of a few humans to just basically do whatever they want. Because the idea of God comes from humans, so whoever's speaking the mind of God at the time can basically enact any law they want.
It's back to Kim Davis again in a way, because if you're elected as a legislator, your job is civil law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
And you've got to work with that system and the rule of law on there. You don't just get to cop out and say, God or whatever told me to do this. On there, that is not doing your damn job.
Yeah. Heretic Woman, I want to grab you on this one also, because we've talked before that you guys have got far more access to Parliament,
yes.
Than we do with the Congress and the Senate over here in the States. As far as to the religious overtone, I guess we'll go with this first off. As far as elections and such, To the best of my knowledge, and admittedly, my knowledge of Canadian politics is sketchy at best, you guys don't have it nearly the same way that we do. Not by a long shot, as I've understood it so far. The religious overtones during election cycles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, we just had our federal leadership debate on Thursday night, which I watched, and not one mention ever of anything even remotely close to religion at all. And the debate was 90 minutes. And that was with just three guys. I mean, the Republicans had, what was it, like 16? Like, how do you even do that? It's pretty ridiculous. But
well, hold on a second. Before you go past that, that one's easy. You get a dartboard and the yellow pages, and you just find out how many, well, the question then just becomes how many darts you're actually owed.
Can we just throw the darts at the politicians?
We could, but then that whole gets into the whole, you know, copyright infringement for Babes in Toyland. You got to put it down on the ground. You got to hit it with the board, slap it around, and hit somebody in the back of the head. And you did, you know.
Yeah, I have this lovely little contraption works rather well.
Which, for those that are listening, that is her little bow and arrow sucker thing.
Yeah, it's got a suction cup arrows.
All of a sudden, she lets go of it, and we hear,
I actually don't have any around right now. They've all buggered off. But Now, interestingly, because I'm doing a series on Beyond the Trailer Park, highlighting all the currently registered federal political parties, we do actually have the Christian Heritage Party, which is registered federally in the government, and they do run candidates in some ridings, thankfully not in my riding. So those people, if they were ever invited to participate in a debate, they probably mention religion quite a bit. But they only involve the viable parties to be involved in the debates. So, for instance, we have the Green Party does have a member of parliament currently. She was invited to the first federal debate that was a month or so ago. She was not invited to this debate this week, which I thought was a bit unfair, but whatever. So, yeah, no religion whatsoever. Not even mentioned once.
Okay, which is theoretically, that's the way that we would expect that it should be run when you're dealing with a civil office, as opposed to a theocratic office. If you're running for the head position of a church, well, yeah. Who's the better churchgoer?
Yeah.
Okay, that in and of itself is kind of a creepy question, but, you know, I can understand that. But you're right. I mean, in our side, we've got the political machine here in the U.S. has become far more a question of which, I wanted to say which version of Christianity is most popular for the left, meaning the Republicans / conservatives, and that's really not the right way of wording it, I know. But I'm kind of lumping a whole bunch of stuff together. I'm sorry. It's more for convenience than for accuracy. So please, I know. Versus the Democratic side, which tends to be less religiously inclined, or minimally much less inclined to listen to it all. There's a perfect example of how you can, you know what? Let me write a note for myself, because I want to use that for my closing in a couple of moments, a second. now I've completely derailed myself because I want to hold on to that for in a couple of minutes and deal with that one afterwards. God damn it, I hate it when that happens. Somebody take it. Because I need... I'm going to lose my place. I'm tired. You're not helping me, heretic woman. Look at you. You're falling over. You're laughing so hard. And your microphone is just... What?
Sorry. I was momentarily distracted. Well, see, you're not the only one with the Facebook buzzing at them. I'm like, go away. Come back later.
It's not that.
The point that we're trying to make, I think, as a whole, is that if you, the theist, take offense to something because of your religion, take a step back and ask yourself, is my belief in my religion so weak, or the rules of my religion so convoluted or so negative that I have developed these feelings about this reaction? Is this worthwhile for me? Is this something that you want to impact the rest of your life with? Mm-hmm. I mean, if two people get married and you don't approve of it, who cares? Seriously, think about it for a moment. If they get married, how does that affect you? It doesn't. It really doesn't. Because you're not marrying them.
She's trying to say, though, that it affects her because she has to approve it. And I know, it's crap. It's right. Absolutely.
And what she's doing is she's seeing herself as an authority over these people in approving their lifestyle. And she's not. What she officially is, according to the U.S. government, is she is a paper pusher. Okay? She's a bureaucrat. She is a person who has the authority to determine whether or not the people who are trying to get married has properly filed the proper paperwork for the government, whether they filled it out correctly or not, and if they dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, then she is to say on the document that, yes, they properly took all the methods, they did all the documentations and procedures properly. Therefore, in accordance with government regulations and rules and basically, standard operating procedure, they're married according to the government, not to her. Not to her. She is there merely as somebody to check that the paperwork is right, not whether the people are right for each other.
Yeah.
If the government had issued her with the responsibility of determining whether or not two people were right for each other, then yes, she could absolutely say that it's against her religion. But that's not the case here. Okay? Government is not giving her nor demanding that of her. It is only telling her, make sure they filled out the paperwork properly, and if they did, issue this certificate to them. Just because your name on it doesn't mean you approve their marriage. It just means that you were the person who checked the bloody paperwork.
And I don't think she understands, but what she is effectively doing... No, but what she is effectively doing is saying, my God is too stupid to realize that I am approving the paperwork and not the lifestyle. That's what she is saying, because she's saying, I don't want to be on record as approving of this because my religion. Well, that means your God is too stupid to know what your intention was, and that you don't, and too stupid to understand that you agree with whatever he, she, or it says, and that you're not being disobedient. She is basically saying her God is stupid.
All right.
Hold on. mom today, and I was learning about our family history, which is why I came up with what I did. But there's something else that she relayed to me, and that was when people were coming over on Ellis Island and they were getting approval. Now, for those of you who are young who have not had the chance to learn the history of Ellis Island, things like that, a lot of the reason why they were funneling immigrants through Ellis Island was to check them for disease in most cases, as well as other things. But today we would do something like that to check for terrorists and espionage agents and spies and things like that. But back then, one of the biggest concerns was disease, because our medical technology wasn't half of what it is today. And when they did get approved and they were finally able to come in, what these people did is, while they did speak their own languages in their own homes and in their own local communities, they learned the English language so that they could do business and interact with the rest of the U.S. They learned about American history. They wanted to become Americans rather than enforcing what they had just fled from upon America. Okay? These people came in, and it was just they if they were Jewish, okay, because part of my family's Jewish, and in a lot of people are familiar with the fact that Jews don't eat bacon because it's not kosher. Well, they wouldn't go get a job in a pork factory and expect to have the privilege of having a position that would mean that they didn't have to touch a single pork product. Okay? They would either A, not work there, or B, if it was the only thing that they could get at the time to provide for their family, they would suck it up and do it because it was just a job. And then they would go and they would talk to their rabbi and they would pray for, you know, whatever the case might be, depending on how they felt. They would never have attempted to do what Kim Davis is trying to do. And okay, on this Friday, she defied court order again because she took her deputy clerks aside. She took all the marriage certificates that they had access to, removed them, and I don't know what she did with them. I don't know if she destroyed them or just locked them in a safe or whatever. And then she gave them a new document that did not have her name on it, and she also removed the name of the county on the document. There is a procedure in government when you're changing official documentations. She did not go through it.
Okay, now I'm going to stop it right here for a second because we're getting really close in on for closing time on this one. But Joey, I want to get you on this one because this is right into your wheelhouse on a couple of different levels, part of which is semi-personal at the moment, and people who know about it later will kind of pick up on this if they check it out. If someone has been elected into a position of power and they take it upon themselves to act in a personal manner instead of a professional manner as dictated by the position, what does that make them? And use whatever terminology seems best considering pre-G13. And don't forget, you're muted, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got it. One more time, repeat the question for me. I did hear it the first time, but...
Want to make sure you've got it right. Okay. If someone is elected into a position of authority, we'll put it that way, such as a clerk in a county office, and they take it upon themselves to personally view the job and the description and to personally deal with whatever it is that comes through that office in such a way that conflicts with what is officially stated for the position, what would we call someone doing that?
So, in other words, someone who is using a position of power for their own means.
I guess that's a good way of putting it, sure.
Bullying.
Imperius Tyrannus.
I like that one. I was hoping we were going to go away with get away with something like Lex Luthor would be a nice one.
That would have been for me.
Well, yeah. Well,
yeah, well,
He did get elected, didn't he? Yeah, he did.
At one point or other. Plus, I mean, let's face it, he was an idiot. What did he want for his troubles? Australia! You friggin' moron! Oh, wait, no. Because then everything would be wanting to kill everybody else on the planet. So, yeah, okay. Weaponized koala bears. Okay, there was an escort to that.
Don't forget, Lex Luthor was a genius, too, in his own right.
Well, he was also bald.
Yeah, there is that.
Plain and simple, a haircut can say a lot about a person.
You know, bald is beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Plain and simple, look at Picard.
Yes, and look at the Amish Wolverine. Yes, we got the reference in there in time. Screw y'all. But, you know what? Okay, hold on a second. Chris, you were trying to jump in before, I think, a couple of moments ago. Let me get you before I see about closing us out.
On that, Tech mentioned calling back a bit about the similarity with like people feeling rejected when they lose privilege. On there, and that's an interesting metaphor. Where I was going is trying to expand this. On there, people have different levels of privilege in society, depending on many things like money, how much money you've the social and financial position of your family. On there, and you always have different levels of position, and it's one of the things that leads to the feeling of rejection and people's like insane reactions is not recognizing the fact that they are in a privileged position, where they do recognize it, that they feel that they're entitled to be there. And people have very different experiences based on in life. Often, you know, it's not just religion, it's race, it's gender, it's sexual orientation. In some places, it's political belief. All kinds of factors affect what kind of privilege level you have in society and can affect your opportunities and job prospects, pay levels, all kinds of things. And it can be very hard to look outside what your sort of privileged strata is and recognize that maybe other people don't have it so easy, or other people are facing different challenges to the ones that you face. And to think about, is the situation that I'm in, is the level of privilege I have, is that fair? Is this something that I should have? In the same way as with the rejection thing, if you romantically approach someone, you know, they're under no obligation to reciprocate on there, but does the rejection come from in some way feeling like you have some right or some entitlement to someone else's love or to your own privileged situation?
It's about a rule set. That's it. You're just not obeying our rules. That's their objection.
I think there's a piece that I can wrap into this, too. Was there any last-minute item that anybody wanted to get? Joey especially. I mean, you haven't exactly had very much of anything else to chime in. I know this happens on occasion, but I always feel bad because I don't want to leave you out. You've got a lot of different things. I just want to make sure that if there's something that you just... We didn't force you out because of, you know...
No. Nothing like that. It's just, you know, you guys have pretty much hit each of the points pretty well. I put in my two cents, and, you know, it's just every now and then we have topics where there's not much more to be said.
Okay.
Look, if you're butthurt because your position is conflicting with your religious views, take a look at society around you and decide whether or not you want to put yourself in that position. But if you're going to then try to use that position to... What is constantly beeping like that?
Sorry. I don't know. That's my Facebook. I'm sorry.
Just going nuts over there. But if you're going to try to use a position like that to influence others based on your own ideology, no. Sorry. That's not the way we work in civilized, I would say this country, but plain and simple civilized countries. That's not the way we do things.
And
we have evolved past that. We're supposed to hold ourselves to a better standard.
Yeah, for those that believe in evolution, of course. And Tech, if there's something really quickly that you want to, you know, cap off really quick with on.
To the theists out there, just remember, if you're going to go around claiming that you can love the sin but hate the sinner, then we can love the theist and hate their religion.
Wow, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Heretic Woman, yeah, real quick, was there anything you wanted to cap really quickly off of?
Not overly. I think I've covered pretty much everything. And Huckabee is totally taking advantage. Yeah, a total troll.
Not troll. Tool.
Well, that too. And he's going to drop her like a hot potato once she doesn't further his objectives any longer. And you just wait. She doesn't realize that she's also being used by the political machine. And it's probably not going to go well for her in the end, because she's going to end up out of this job one way or another. And, you know, if they have to impeach her, they have to impeach her. But you can't just stand there and say, you're going to pay me $80,000 a year to not do what you're actually paying me to do. That just doesn't work. And if she, you know... In Canada, actually, in employment law, and I realize that she's a little different because she was elected to the position, but we have a provision that, you know, religious considerations are to be accommodated up to the point where it becomes an unreasonable burden on the employer. And this would be an unreasonable burden on the employer. So, you know, if your religion places restrictions on you that preclude you from doing a specific job, then if you don't want to be a royal douchebag, you resign and find yourself a job that doesn't conflict with your religious proclivities.
Or...
I'm sure Hobby Lobby would be happy to hire her.
Yeah.
Or
you just get on with it and do your job and realize that this is, if you're going to be a professional and do a job, there may be aspects of it that you don't like doing.
Yep.
I want to see a really good example of somebody who was religious but did their job without pushing a religion. Look at Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you hit a piece on this really quickly. Chris or Joseph, I know that you guys had your pieces right before I started specifically asking. Was there either one of you wanted to cap any other last really quick item?
Yeah. I mean, one very simple tool for while it may be simple in concept, not always easy to do in practice, is to think about what your situation is on the level of privilege, and then consider what it would be like to be on the other side of the fence,
mm-hmm.
to not be able to get married to the person you love, because someone is preventing you on there, not being able to drink at a certain water fountain or visit a certain lunch counter, or ride on a bus or on certain seats of the bus, or express your opinions online without fear of death, any other situations like that, and think, if I wouldn't want to be placed in this situation, is it fair that other people are being placed in them? And the answer is almost always no.
Yeah, I'm going to hit that in a couple of moments also. Joseph, any last item that you wanted to pack real quick?
Just to add to what Chris was saying, but what you're asking of them requires thought. position isn't at all based in thought.
Yeah, the thing is, human beings are carrying around like a couple of pounds of very energy intensive meat in their heads for a reason. We involve the ability to think, and it would and it's a very great shame to see that go to waste.
And we can see that. But humans, a good lot of their education is through imitation. And it's possible today, you know, we're so sheltered that it's possible to get by without thinking through imitation alone. And, you know, this reaction to homosexual marriage and all that, it's a reaction. It's not thought. It's just a thoughtless reaction. And that's the part that needs to be fixed.
It is the ick factor. That is, and they're using religion to bolster the fact that they just think it's icky. And I'm sorry, but there are a lot of religious folk out there that I think sex with them would be kind of icky as well, and you don't see me trying to preclude them from ever having sex with anyone.
As those people who are on the ick factor, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you for not shutting me down.
I said religious people.
Sounds like a name of a show, The Ick Factor. Yeah,
it used to be called Double Dare way back when, but come back to
that.
Okay. So let me go ahead and wrap this up really quickly with 3 points. Item number one that Joseph just brought up. You want to talk about people not thinking about stuff and not wanting to be put in the same position? How would you like to be part of the minority, where you are actually the one that is in power? Yeah, it's possible to have that, believe it or not. It's possible for you to be like 1/4 of the population, 20% of the population, which is far bigger than what atheist population is, and have all of the power and subjugate everybody else, the other 80%. It's possible to do that. And as a matter of fact, if you are a Christian, it's possible to be in a country where that actually happens, where you can impose everything that you want. You also happen to, well, you would also need to be white-skinned, have guns, and be living in South Africa a couple of years ago. You might have heard about it, called apartheid. It's called keeping everybody under your thumb by will of force alone, because you couldn't be sharing with everybody else because you're the white minority, but of course you're superior because you're white. Well, pink, but whatever. You just don't do that.
The clan mentality has to go. Yeah. I mean, living by imitation, by imitating your own, like without any thought at all to it, that has to go.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, the atheists they feel oppressed by you know, if the atheists have power, they're going to let them do whatever the hell they want to. That's the irony.
Yeah.
Which spelling of clan were you using there, Joseph?
What other spellings are there?
I'm sure the Americans will get that.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's kind of like an overzealous representation of clan, but yeah, that's kind of reducing things to extremes.
And yeah. sometimes that's okay. As a matter of fact, I'm going to springboard off of that in just a second, too. But there, like I said, there are times when that is possible to do. Are we atheists, we non-believers, we nuns, if we get into positions of power, are we going to go ahead and impose our religious doctrine on you?
Well, there is none to start with.
Exactly. We don't have one. We can't impose anything on you because we don't have one to impose. We're going to tell you, let's look at the data and find out what it shows. Oh, wow, look at this. It says that that's not what happens. Oh, I guess you're wrong then.
Is it harmful to society? Let's talk about it, you know?
It's a good place. So it comes down to, as far as to, does it matter if you're the majority or the minority? No, it matters if you're right. And there's only one way to finding that out. And that's to go and find the information itself and test it and check against it. And is it right? Well, let's check it again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And, you know, maybe again. Because that's what we do. We like to find out that somebody screwed up, mental edit there really quickly, screwed up the information and their conclusion is wrong. We love to see that. We love to take somebody down a notch just to go, haha, you screwed up. Okay, let's fix it all now.
Yeah.
We love that. As skeptics, we enjoy the hell out of that. We love solving the puzzle and finding out, are there actually pieces of the puzzle that are missing? And let's find out what that is and work from there, which is a great thing.
And I also, I also love it when people are, as a skeptic, when people are right and can show really concisely and clearly exactly how they're right and why. Yeah, and sometimes they're right in unexpected ways, things that you would never expect to happen, but they do. And it's just, there's so many great examples of
where... Can you think of one?
I'm just trying to remember the details of one that I'm going to get right on the show, and I can't at the moment, at this time of morning. But there's been... numerous events where, like, what people have thought about a particular issue or a particular fact turned out to be wrong, or people have turned out to be right about something but not for the right reasons. And it just underscores the value of looking at... at different points, thinking about them and thinking about what the consequences are. And one of the things I get, Shijin, you mentioned about whether it matters or not, whether or not you're in a majority. One thing I see a lot from a privileged majority is the idea of that if you treat everyone the same, then that's fair and that's right. And but it's not, because different people are impacted by different things in different ways. So you get to points which are virtually as ridiculous, you know, as saying that, you know, every building's, you know, got stairs going into it. That's fair. Everyone can use the stairs, except, you know, people in wheelchairs or with other conditions. It's really not.
Yes, so let's go ahead and talk about the privilege against the Dalek, but we'll talk about that after we come back to the 21st
century.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, they can fly, though.
Yeah, there's two examples, however, from American culture that I want to finish us off with that prove very, very clearly that privilege doesn't have to be, even if it could be there. Now, we mentioned about Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. Fred McFeely Rogers. Yes, McFeely was his middle name. Seriously.
Really? Oh, wow.
Now, if memory serves, and I could be wrong about this, and I'm sure Joey will double-check for me in a couple of moments. Memory serves, I believe he was a Presbyterian minister. I don't recall off the top of my head which it was, but the point of it was, most appropriately, he didn't push it. He didn't make that an issue in his dealings with kids for his shows. I never knew as a kid growing up, and I grew up on Mr. Rogers. He came on the scene in 1970. I was a year old. Sesame Street had a year worth of production on him. Yes, I remember that because Sesame Street was born 1969, same as me. Sesame Street and I are the same age, and I am a better person for it. All inclusive, looking at all these different people with different backgrounds, with different languages, with different skin and different hair, and some of them weren't even human. Oh, that was great. That was inclusive. That was wonderful. Mr. Rogers.
Hell, they even had Alice Cooper. They had Alice Cooper on Sesame Street, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't get much more open than that, unless you have Ozzy on there.
And actually, Alice is a good example of not abusing the privilege as well, because he is, I believe, a born-again Christian, and Alice Cooper, and he does what he does, and, you know, has monsters on stage, dresses up like a demon, has, you know, James Randi chop his head off every, you know, tour, and yet he doesn't bring up the religious stuff when he's doing his thing, because he knows his fans probably aren't interested in it, and it has nothing to do with what he does for a living.
And with Sesame Street, I kind of got the feeling of it, although I didn't really know it at the time, that Mr. Hooper, the original owner of Hooper's store, and yes, there was an original owner of Hooper's store, was a Jew. And before you go any much further than that, he was portraying a Jew of sorts on the show. Mm-hmm. He was someone who was completely locked out of working for over 10 years because of the McCarthy witch hunt trials, because he was caught up in a blacklist somewhere. And he didn't have anything to do. He didn't say anything about it. I never really understood it. I don't remember. It may have come up in the idea of this is part of culture, but it was never, you need to be dealing with meat on one plate and cheese on another in my store. It was a non-issue. Mr. Rogers was the same way. It was a non-issue. He was just doing because he wanted to do good.
You know, I think Mr. Rogers said something very important that always stuck with me, as well as probably anybody that grew up on him about watching his show. And that was, I like you just the way you are.
Yeah. And there was one other person from American culture, world culture, that's important to take very close note of. Believe it or not, since we're coming into the election cycles, I can actually pull this one out. JFK. He was the first Catholic elected to the office of President of the United States of America. And this is important. Yeah,
they were actually worried about that, if I remember correctly.
They were, yes.
Publicly, he made a speech, actually, about this. He had to assure people, this is before his election, one of his campaign speeches, he had to assure people that the popes would not be pulling his strings.
And that's exactly the point. He went in there and he said, look, If you're electing me, you're electing me. You're not electing my church. You're not electing my pope. He is the pope of my religion. My religion is not my job if elected. And he made damn sure and clear. One is not both. One is not the other. He knew the importance of keeping that separation. Yeah, Joey.
And does it come as any sense of irony that probably he is one of the foremost presidents as far as technologically and scientifically advancing our nation and culture?
He pushed. No lie. He put a line in the sand and he said, NASA, you're going to do this. Why? Because it's the tough thing to do. Because it's something that nobody else has done. Because
we chose to go to the moon and the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
And we did. We pushed. And admittedly, a good portion, a really good portion of it had everything to do with the Cold War. I'll admit it freely and with no reservation whatsoever. But it was done. But the most important part of it was he knew the importance of saying what I believe because of my faith is not what you're electing. You're electing me to look at my country and say, this is how it's supposed to be for everybody. To the best of my ability, I will uphold that because it's the right thing to do. And isn't it amazing how many times we go through these talks and it all boils down to that simple phrase, it's the right thing to do. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you, whether you like it or not, are a closet humanist and you never knew it. Why is it the right thing to do? Simple. Because everybody wins. Just this one time, Rose, everybody lives. And if you actually do get that reference, congratulations.
You're old.
Damn.
And if you don't get that reference, find that particular episode of Doctor Who. Find out about that particular incarnation of the Doctor and find out just how painful and how glorious a moment that was for him to be able to say just this once. Everybody lives. Because that's one of those moments that haunts me and gives me comfort and makes me realize there can actually be times when that happens. Everybody wins. That's humanism. Or at least, I'd like to think that's the way it's supposed to work. As always, everybody, thank you very much for being with us tonight. We are not the worst vlog cast in the world by any stretch of the imagination, but we're not going to be winning any awards anytime soon. So if you've decided that we make something worthwhile for you to listen to and to think about, then we've done our job and we appreciate it. As always, everybody on the panel, thank you for your time this morning. I hope that you have yourself an enjoyable Sunday and a happy post-R day.
Yes.
Joseph, thank you very kindly. You have yourself a wonderful morning.
You too, sir.
Calls me sir. Chris, thank you, of course. Happy birthday, and
oh,
thank you so much for your time, man.
Hey, anybody want to get sued? Happy birthday to you.
No. I don't want to have copyright hit. I know.
Cut that in editing, Fujin.
Sure.
Did we just trip the YouTube filter? No.
I believe that that is no longer valid, that it was challenged and found to be unenforceable.
You know what? That's fine. Dallin, listen, right about here, go ahead and drop in the happy birthday background music for him, okay? Thanks. Appreciate that. It's great to have an audio bitch. Unrenowned Tech, thank you very much for your time. Have yourself a great... Tech, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. It was fun to be here.
Joey, I know he's poor. Joey is just shaking his head. It's just why would you do this? Thank you for your time this morning. I hope that you have a cooler morning to sleep in.
I hate you all so much.
We hate you.
If it's not these yahoos, it's the other yahoos and the little side window trying to break me the entire time. I'm supposed to be, no pun intended, I'm supposed to be the straight guy here, damn it.
We all have our cross to bear.
And I know, I know you hate us all, but much appreciated for coming on here every week and doing your job.
Ah, see?
Wait, I get paid for this?
What? Heretic woman, what?
That's not me! That is not me!
It's the guy who's going to go to the corner to close the show.
Yeah, don't be blaming me for that. It's not me, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's me either.
No, that would be the bearded fellow in black and white, I believe.
Is it just me or is Heretic Woman coming in like all scrambly?
Yes, Will. Yeah, Heretic Woman, your audio is very, very poppy at the moment. I'm not quite sure. It started before when you were overly loud. It might be a little bit of that, but
okay.
It sounds like you, well, go ahead and say a little something so that we can find out if you...
So is it getting any better?
No,
apparently.
You're not supposed to be doing video processing while you're on the show.
I'm not. I don't know what the issue would be.
It's probably Hangouts itself.
Yeah.
And probably.
So, real quick, thank you for your time, and real quick, which places will people be able to find you at?
Well, of course, there's always Beyond the Trailer Park Monday nights on the YouTube, Beyond the Trailer Park channel. This week is Mormon Mania the Third with Bryce Blankenagle of the Naked Mormonism podcast. So get out your magic undies and your secret handshakes for that. And there's Atheist Apocalypse at atheistapocalypse.com. My Secular Savior at mysecularsavior.com. And occasionally I show up on the Forbidden Fruit Show, which is on Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty. So for those of you that are listening, sorry about that. There's not much of anything we can really do about it. Hangouts, unfortunately, because it is a free service, it can get a little squirrely at times. We apologize for that, but
tonight's show is brought to you by the letter A and by Megatron.
Yes.
Yeah, all I heard was exterminate.
It's okay. When you get to listen to the end of the show, Heretic Woman, you can listen to it all and go, oh crap, really? It was that bad?
Thanks.
It happens every once in a while. There's not much of anything we can do about it, but we just keep doing our thing. For those of you that have listened to the whole end of it all, thank you very kindly. If you'd like to send some messages our way, please feel free to send an email over to podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, G+, get information on us. I don't know who that was. Feedback. Yeah, Heretic Woman, you're feeding back, or you were just for a moment there. That's great. So you can find us on the web at holycrapthevlogcast.com, and you'll get pointers to all of our stuff over there, including Facebook. Facebook faves are wonderful. Please, that would be great. I don't normally go trolling for them, but that would be cool. James is asking, Doctor Who? No, just the Doctor. Yes, we know. Yes. And some people are really going to get upset with me on this one. The geek level is about to rise. My doctor is McCoy. Have fun with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Screw oh, yeah.
And, of course, if you would like to send a voice message our way, of course, you can send it via email and just send an MP3 or something like that. But if you'd like to leave a voicemail message on the voice line, that is area code 859-HCTV-554. 859-4288-554. We'll be looking forward to seeing you guys later. Like I said, I'm going to be seeing about getting Sam Mulvey on. I'll see about sending him an email probably late tomorrow because I don't want to get him before he does his show. I don't want to disturb him that way, but we'll see what happens with that. I still have a dream. There's a song in there, I Dream a Dream. I'm not going to sing it. That maybe one day we will ask very kindly for Dr. Professor deGrasse Tyson, maybe. I will make the effort. I don't think that it will ever happen. But I'll be damned if I'm not going to make the effort, because what's the worst that can happen? Says no. You know what? Dr. Tyson, Mr. Tyson, can I call you Neil? No? Okay. Dr. Tyson, I will ask because I think it would be fun as hell for you to talk to somebody who actually had a connection to the original Cosmos series that my grandpa was in it. So I've got a hook. Come on. You want to be on my show. You do. You know that, right? Okay, fine. That's as good as it's going to go. We'll talk later. You all take very good care of yourselves, and we'll be looking forward to whatever the next topic is going to be. I'm not quite sure, but we will see what goes on from there. And James has got it right from Les Mis. Thank you. I couldn't stand Les Mis, but whatever. I just happen to know that particular piece of it all. Until the next time we get together, everyone, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And, of course, to my wife, Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Until the next time we get together, everybody, you take care of yourselves and good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+ pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.